Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
And we are live on this Sunday morning. It is the 5th of May. Welcome, brothers and sisters. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here, Director of Priests for Life. We're going to delve into God's Word today with joy. We continue to celebrate the Easter season. We're getting close to the Feast of the Ascension, and then is going to be Pentecost. And I don't know about you, but I'm particularly thirsty for Pentecost this year. We'll talk a little bit about that. In fact, I'm going to sing a psalm, and many of you say you like when we do the singing. Singing is an expression of the Spirit, obviously. To sing is to pray twice, as has been said for so many ages. And I love singing. And even though it's not Pentecost, remember, this isn't a liturgy, so we're free to use whatever readings we want. I usually use the readings that are being read throughout the Catholic Church and many other Christian churches on this particular day that we have these gatherings. But we have the freedom here in this program to use whichever readings or psalms we want. And so I want to anticipate Pentecost a little bit. You know, the readings now are getting into that point of the season where we're reading about Jesus promising the Holy Spirit. And boy, do we need the Holy Spirit. Boy, do we need the Holy Spirit. The confusion that's out there, the denial of truth. He is the Spirit of truth. The betrayal of the faith. He's the one that keeps us loyal to the faith. There's so many reasons why we need the Holy Spirit. The beginning of time, He breathed over the chaos and He brought about order. He breathed over death and He brought about life. This is a culture of death. Consciences are dead. It's like the field of dry bones that Ezekiel preached to. We need the Spirit to bring back life and to bring back consciences, to bring back truth. So we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I think we need to. Pentecost is in 2 weeks. And boy, we're gonna pray intensely for the coming of the Holy Spirit, that we need the Holy Spirit to come on us in these elections and so many other reasons. Okay, so we're going to read two readings here with the psalm in between, and then we're going to proclaim the word to you and draw some very practical lessons. So bring other people on if you know others that might want to join us for a few minutes here. Invite them, share the video, let them know, alert them. And let's go into the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we come to you today, your people, renewed in joy, refreshed in the Spirit, ready to serve you, repenting deeply of our sins. Lord, we have offended you and others by what we have done and what we have failed to do, and we truly repent and help us repent even of our unknown sins. Reveal those sins to us. So often we do wrong and we do harm thinking that we're doing good. We don't even see it, but we need your Spirit to enlighten us. Come, Lord Jesus. Send the Holy Spirit from you and the Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Change this culture of death into a culture of life. Lead us into your kingdom of life. We praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. And if I didn't remind you, leave your prayer intentions, if you like, in the comments. I can see all your comments here. And someone said, oh, Suzanne, having choir practice today for Pentecost. That's great. See, it's on the horizon, isn't it? We can already start to feel and hear it. What a wonderful feast it is. A very vigorous feast. Okay, a reading from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might have life through Him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as expiation for our sins. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm will be, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord God, how great you are, clothed in majesty and in glory, wrapped in light as in a robe. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. All the earth is full of your creatures. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. All of these look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it, they gather it up. You open your hand, they have their fill. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. You take back your Spirit, they die, returning to the dust from which they came. You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment: love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This I command you: love one another." The day before yesterday was the 24th anniversary of the death of the one who ordained me to the priesthood and granted me permission, after the membership of Priests for Life around the country elected me, to be the National Director of Priests for Life. Cardinal John O'Connor of New York. You remember him? Those of you that remember him, let me know in the comments. Some of you followed him and knew him as I did. And when I went into the seminary for theology, he was the Archbishop of New York. The first, my class was the first class to go through all 4 years of our theological training with him as the Archbishop, and he would frequently come to the seminary. And whenever he would come to the seminary, the main chandelier on the second floor in the middle of the hallway was lit up. It was the only time it was lit up was when the cardinal was in the building, so that we would be alerted to that fact and, you know, not embarrass ourselves and be on our best behavior. And for him, friends, for him, many of you are saying you do remember him, pro-life was the number one issue. Abortion was the number one concern. And he was for a while the head of the bishop's pro-life committee. And he fanned the flames of my own pro-life passion. And when I went to him, he didn't come to me, I went to him after having served in the parish for 4 years. I said, "I want to devote myself full time to ending abortion." And of course, that resonated with him very deeply. and he gave me permission to do that. That was exactly 31 years ago. And 31 years ago this month, in fact, I had the meeting with him where I asked that permission. And I've been doing it ever since, despite the fact of some to stop me from doing it. Those trying to stop me from doing it, you'll never succeed. Ever. Never. You have to cut my head off. Cut out my tongue. Never will succeed in silencing me and in silencing the rest of us. We're all filled with the same spirit, aren't we? So Cardinal O'Connor, the reason I mentioned Cardinal O'Connor, this gospel about love one another. As he got to the end of his life and he had brain cancer in the final phase of his life, I remember him preaching. I think it was the last Christmas. He died, obviously, May 3rd, as I said. But the last Christmas, I was with him there for Midnight Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral. And the homily he gave wasn't exactly like all the homilies that we were used to hearing him give over the years. I mean, they were all good. They were all filled with the love of God. But he was very, very strong on, you know, confronting the evils in the world and speaking the truth and never being ashamed of the gospel. He was great on preaching those points. But that final Christmas homily, I mean, you could still see it. It was broadcast on WPIX. He was focusing on this. He said, listen, after and through all the battles of life, and no matter what happens, love one another is the lesson that we have to take away from all this. Love one another. That's what's enduring. And he just, you remind me of St. John, you know, just love one another, just repeating that and emphasizing that that's the most important takeaway from all of our religion. Now, love one another, we read in both of the readings that we shared today, has a particular form in the Christian life. And I want to emphasize this here today. The commandment of Jesus is not simply love one another. Let's understand this. Because if he says, oh, just, well, love one another. I mean, a lot of people come along and say, yeah, I love God and I love everybody. I love. In other words, the emphasis is on the I. The emphasis is on them. They're the center of gravity. They're saying they love, but they're defining what love is. And of this we must be careful. They'll say they love and they think they can define their own lifestyle. Oh, I love. Except I love someone who was already married, or I love a person of the same gender. I'm a man. Oh, yeah, I love a man. Is this the love that Jesus commands us to have? Or does it have a shape? Does it have an identity? Is there a message? He doesn't just say, love one another. He says, love one another as I have loved you. Now, that gives the shape and the content and the substance. He's pointing to the same thing that's in the Gospel of John, the same thing that the reading we shared here from the first letter of John says. What is love? And John defines it for us here, because love, you know, means, the word means so many things. I remember Archbishop Sheen saying it's the most misused, abused, confused word in the English language. I love my mother, I love ice cream, I love my dog, I love God. You know, all the different meanings and different levels. What is it? John says, this is love. Not that we have loved God. Again, he says, don't put the emphasis on yourself. You don't define what it is. You're not the center of gravity. It doesn't matter what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Get away from yourself. In this is love. That God loved us and sent his son to die on the cross. Sent his son as an expiation for our sins. We think of many symbols of love, and the heart is the most common symbol of love. But what, yes, Suzanne, you're saying it right, agape love. That's the love of the cross. That's the self-emptying, Philippians 2. That's the giving of ourselves. That's the laying down of our lives. Gospel says, it's not you who chose me. See again how Jesus takes it. Let's take the emphasis off of us, enough of trying to define what love is. You don't count in that. It is that God chose you, and then you count for everything. Why? Because God chose you. Not because you're my rights, my life, my body, my choice, all this garbage that justifies evil. No, enough of that. Stop being so focused, Jesus is telling us, on yourself. It's not that you chose me. Don't go around all proud. Oh, look, I love God. Oh, look, I love others. No. It was not you who chose me. I chose you. I love you. I show you how to love. I give you the power to love. It's all centered on the choice of God, the choice by God to love us, to show us what love is, and to empower us to love. It doesn't just teach us what love is. Remember, learning love, even if we take these verses and say, oh, okay, this is the meaning of love. Jesus died on the cross. Okay, I'm going to look at the cross. I'm going to reflect on that, and I'm going to learn from that. It's more than that. It's more than just giving us an example. A lot of people in history give us an example of how to love, and hopefully people in our own lives give us that example. But brothers and sisters, he gives us the power to do it. If we really understand the demands of his gospel, we're going to look at those demands and we're going to say, this is impossible for me to live. And God says, yeah, you're right. That's why I'm not going to let you rely just on your power. I'm going to give you mine. He gives us his life. He gives us his power. He gives us his spirit. Love one another as I have loved you. Lord, how are we going to do that? Well, I'm going to come in and do it inside of you. I'm going to love in you and through you. You're going to love your enemies? You can't do that on your own power. I'm going to come in and love them through you. Let me in. That's why we invoke the Holy Spirit. We need love. But we need love that we don't define. Let me go back to that. Because the Christian life has a shape and it has a content. It excludes certain things. So, in the area of life, it excludes killing life. It excludes abortion. Some people think they're filled with love and they go around aborting their babies or justifying abortion. No, no, doesn't fit, doesn't work. In fact, abortion is exactly the opposite of love. Love says, I sacrifice myself for the other person. Abortion says, I sacrifice the other person for myself. You see how it's exactly the opposite of love? You can't lovingly choose abortion. You can't lovingly advocate abortion. It's the opposite of love. And it has nothing, again, to do with what you're thinking or feeling or believing or desiring or wanting. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the action itself and whether the other person is given life and raised up or is torn apart and thrown in the garbage. Lifestyle. God made them male and female. Some people say, oh, I love, oh, I'm a man and I love that man. It's not love. Sorry. Christian love has a content. It has a meaning. Enough already of trying to justify and give space to and glorify and tolerate, everybody live the way you want. Well, then don't claim to be following Jesus. Listen, you're either following Jesus and therefore living the way he taught, or you're living the way you want to live and you're following yourself. Either way, I mean, God has given us free will. He's given us a free mind. Believe what you want. Do what you want, except don't be thinking what you want, justifying what you want, doing what you want, and at the same time claiming to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Judge of all, teacher of the gospel, preacher of the Sermon on the Mount, teacher of the commandments, teacher of love. You see, friends, I mean, either it is Christ Jesus, who happens to be not ourselves. First demand of the Christian life is to recognize the difference between ourselves and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Either he's the one teaching us the meaning and content of love, or we're making it up for ourselves. There's no such thing as the right to redefine marriage and love. Scripture calls it an abomination. Man loving a man, a woman united sexually with a woman. It's not the Christian life. It's just not. You go ahead and do that, like the deluded people of old, and Paul talks about it in the Romans, God gave them over to their lustful passions. You do that, don't be claiming to be a Christian. Don't be wearing that cross around your neck or that prayer on your wall. I'm just so sick and tired of this. Everybody writes their own commandments. Everybody writes their own gospel. Enough already. So, the other thing that happens is that when people are saying that they love, and meanwhile, it's all about them, and they can't connect with you. You ever have the experience of really sincerely reaching out to somebody, and they're all, again, all claiming to be all Christian and loving, and meanwhile, they only think negative thoughts of you, and they take your sincerity, and then they reinterpret it, they actually mangle it and distort it, and they take offense at it. You sincerely approach another person. How many of you have experienced it? Tell me some of your own experiences. It's people who are caught up, and it's not, they may be sincerely trying to love, but what they missed was the second part of the command. Understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that these are the people who go around hating others. There is that kind, okay? And they're manifesting themselves on our college campuses right now, you know, trying to tear America apart. I'm not talking about the haters. I'm talking about people who are claiming to be Christians and claiming to love one another. And then you try to meet them in love, and they've forgotten the second half of the command. Love one another, Jesus said, as I loved you. It's rooted in history. It's not rooted in your own concept or your own interpretation. It's rooted in history. The blood shed on the cross, the one who is the teacher of love and of morality and of sexuality. By the way, that whole, I was talking about lifestyle. There's another point here to be remembered about the teaching of Jesus. Because remember, when Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you, he's not only talking about the love he showed us by dying on the cross. He's talking about the love he showed us by teaching us the commandments and by preaching the Sermon on the Mount and by teaching us about marriage. The one who is married, but then goes off, divorces his wife and marries another, commits adultery. If that marriage is still valid, if it hasn't been declared to be null and void from the beginning by the church, then you're not living in a relationship that is pleasing to God, not loving God. Again, I think it's okay. Oh, of course, sorry. Congratulations. You're the author of your own commandments. Yeah, the Ten Commandments, according to John, according to Sally. Good job. Congratulations. You know, it took God a while. It was a big ceremony on Mount Sinai and all of that, thunder and lightning and clouds and people gathered together. But yeah, you did it all on your own without the fanfare. Just amazing. You wrote your own commandments. Is marriage indissoluble or not? Now listen, we're not minimizing the problems people have in married relationships. Sometimes you have to separate. But I'm talking about the idea where you're just throwing Jesus' teachings out the window. I'm not talking about those who they really sincerely have a breakup in the marriage and they go to the church and they get an annulment. And that's not the church dissolving the marriage. That's the church saying it was invalid from the beginning because of something that was missing. You follow the norms, you do the right thing under the guidance of the pastors, that's one thing. But to just throw the teaching out the window and say, oh, I'm a good Catholic, you know, I'm receiving communion, I'm going to Mass, but oh yeah, either I or my spouse or both of us, yeah, we were married before, we never got a declaration of nullity from the church. Well, then what in the world are you doing? What are you doing? Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus is putting himself in the middle there, and he is saying, yeah, you may think you love somebody else, they love you, oh yeah, oh, that's all great and good and fine, but if you guys are the center of gravity, don't claim to be worshiping me. If you guys are the ones who define what's right and wrong, don't claim to be following me. Love one another as I have loved you. I, Jesus Christ, am the one who defines what is right and what is wrong. And I have defined it, not by some kind of vague, cloudy, oh, mystical experience of God, but in my written word, in my written gospel, in the catechism of the church, in the teachings that have been clearly enunciated, not in some kind of mysterious alien language, but in your language, and written, and not in some kind of cloudy way out in the stars, in the galaxy, Milky Way, but in black and white on the pages right in front of you. Love one another, he says, with me as your Lord, with me as your teacher, with me as the measure of morality. It's hard. It's hard. So you've got people redefining marriage, thinking they could do whatever the hell they want. This has got to stop. This is at the core of the chaos of our society, whether it's the killing of babies, trampling marriage underfoot. And it's bad enough if our enemies, listen, our enemies don't, they don't mask who they are. There's people going on stage, you know, ripping up the Bible at these events, sensual events, satanic conference, ripping the pages of the Bible. They're letting us know they couldn't care less about the Word of God. But what's worse is that the people who are, I mean, they might as well be ripping up the pages of the Bible and stomping on them, because they're living contrary to them. They're justifying the wrong that they do. And it's, oh, look at me. I'm a follower of Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And they sing and they lift their hands and they're worshiping. Oh, they're all happy in the spirit. They're traitors. Traitors to the Word of God. I'm not talking about our weakness. I'm talking about those who have learned what the teaching is. And they just reject it, my friends. They reject it. Anybody who's trying to live, you know, we don't care how many times you fall. Our hand is there to lift you back up. We all fall and we all sin and we all have to repent every single day. And we're not talking about lacking compassion. We're talking about demanding honesty and integrity. So love one another as I have loved you. So it's a challenging, challenging teaching. Because Jesus is at the center. Jesus is the one who chooses us. Jesus is the one who lays down his life for us. Praise the Lord. Let's go back into prayer. Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Enable us, Lord, to accept your love for us and to accept you as the teacher of what love is. You are the teacher. Lord, help us to furthermore accept one another with sincerity, not reinterpreting each other's actions, taking offense when a person approaches us with sincerity, and then meanwhile we take offense. We pray for those, Lord, who take offense to us when we approach them with goodwill. We approach them with honesty. They end up rejecting us. Lord, they have failed. They have failed big time. They have failed you. And we ask you, Lord, that you would just convert them, lift them back up again, and help them to have enough spiritual maturity to accept the sincere expression of our love that we have tried to extend to them. Lord, remove from our midst those who are haters and troublemakers and insincere people and fake Christians and pretended disciples. No, Lord God, we don't need this. We pray for them. We ask you to convert their hearts. But please, Lord, do so quickly and completely, because they are a burden to us. They are a menace to the body of Christ. Lord, we lift up all the intentions and the prayers that have been expressed here today or that are held in the silence of our hearts. Lord, we pray for all our collaborators in the great cause of life. We thank you for them. Now, friends, we're going to say, as we usually do, the Lord's Prayer, but then hang on, because I want to ask you a special favor today. We want to do a favor together for one of, I just mentioned our collaborators, one of our best collaborators, one of my closest collaborators, Janet. You see her on these programs if you watch all our broadcasts on endabortion.tv, and I want to give her a special gift this week. There's a pro-life board that I belong to, which is going to announce in a short while the pro-life award that they are giving to her. And I wanted to sort of echo and accentuate that by letting you express your support for her. And I'll tell you a little bit more why after we say these prayers. Let's pray in the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray to our Heavenly Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Okay, so, Janet Morana, you know how they say behind every great man is a great woman, and I'm not calling myself anything, but the fact is, I had a successful ministry. It would not be the case were it not for Janet, our executive director, who has been working with me on this pro-life mission, even before Priests for Life got started 30 years ago, before I became director. Actually, what is it now? I told you about Cardinal O'Connor before. It's been 31 years. Janet's been there every step of the way, and she continues to be, and she continues to lead the ministry as executive director. I can assure you I would not be talking to you right now or delivering any of these messages or anything like that without Janet, if she not been there. So I'd like you to express, if you would, your prayers and your gratitude to her. Feel free to leave a message right here and now in the comments. Or you can always email us at mail@priestsforlife.org is our main email address, just mail@priestsforlife.org. But go ahead and if you can leave a little comment, I'll make sure she sees it, of appreciation, because she has supported me, stood by me, nurtured our staff, created our projects and our programs, produced our TV programs on EWTN, and I would take all day just to list the many, many things that she has done for you, for the ministry, for the movement, for the other pro-life leaders. She brings together these leaders in their strategy sessions, and just in so many ways. Janet, and you see her broadcasts here. There's the Janet Reacts program. There's the Just Ask Janet program. There's the End Abortion US that she hosts together with me. But leave Janet a little message, if you would, of encouragement and gratitude, because we want to honor her just as her colleagues and mine in the pro-life movement honor her and thank her. I'm going to tell you, I've met a lot of people. I've met a lot of you. I see the best people in the world in this pro-life movement, but you won't find someone as absolutely generous and self-giving as Janet is. You know, I remember we go to the March for Life, of course, every year, as many of you do, and we also go to the West Coast Walk for Life in San Francisco. That's the second largest pro-life gathering, and sometimes they're back-to-back. One is on a Friday in D.C., and then the March for Life in San Francisco on Saturday, so we fly late that night and go over there. So one year, as Janet and I were preparing, you know, the team to take part in these things, she sprained her ankle, and she was on crutches, and she went anyway. She went to the March for Life and walked in that march on crutches, got on a plane at the end of the day, flew across the country, and marched in the Walk for Life the next day on crutches. Not a word of complaint, dedicated to the mission, nothing stopping her. Just thank you. Thank you for thanking her. Thank you for affirming her. Not everybody sees or appreciates the work of, well, she's in the spotlight, but, you know, not as much as I am. And people do need to know what's going on with the other people around who are making it happen. So thank you. Thank you in advance. Hey, I had a great day yesterday here in Florida, in Orlando, at the Republican gathering of Republican Party of Florida had their quarterly meeting, and they asked me to lead the spiritual devotional in the morning and to preach. And I did. And I preached up a storm, and it was a great, great gathering there in Orlando. And then last night was at the annual gala of the Florida Family Policy Council, which has announced just last night its new name, Florida Family Voice. Wonderful organization. John Stemberger headed it up for a long time. He's a great pro-life advocate. Now he works with Liberty Counsel, Matt Staver, also in Orlando. But the gathering last night was great. Tucker Carlson was the speaker. And it was just a fantastic evening of affirmation. So blessings to all of those of you who saw me there, and I saw you, just fantastic. This week I'll be going to Michigan on Tuesday night for another speech, and then I'll be in Orlando again on Thursday for a luncheon talk. So great being with all of you in this great movement. So thank you. Thanks for joining me. Let other people know about these broadcasts. We continue to grow our outreach, but we depend on you to do that because you can reach certain people that we can't reach despite all the publicity that we give all this. Stay tuned for a couple of special messages from some of our friends of our ministry, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Priests for Life is an extraordinarily fine group, and I don't say that in order to make anybody feel better or flatter anyone. It's an unusual and a very unique group in that most of the priests whom I have encountered across this country and indeed around the world shy away from the subject of abortion. They somehow want to keep it under the rug and only pull it out when they're ordered to. In my own experience as a Catholic convert for the last several years, I've attended a great many masses and listened to a great many homilies, and I believe in 3 years I've listened only to one homily on the subject of abortion, and that was here in St. Patrick's Cathedral. Other than that, priests seem not to want to talk about it. And Priests for Life is the Paul Revere of this whole gestalt, that Priests for Life are riding around trying to galvanize the rest of the clergy into getting engaged in what is one of the most appalling revolutions of the 20th century. And I am enormously grateful to them and admire their work enormously, but unfortunately I believe that there are not enough, that Priests for Life should have a staff 20 times what it has now.
Hello, this is Abby Johnson of Unplanned the Movie. You know me as a longtime supporter of Priests for Life and of Father Frank Pavone, and I just want to encourage you, as someone who knows of the great work of this organization, please continue to stand strong. Please continue to support this mission. It is so needed now more than ever. Thank you so much for all of your support.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.